and welcome to this episode of Keep It Positive, Sweetie. I'm Crystal Renee Hazlett, and today I have with me my bro, Todd Galberth. The Todd Galberth.
Todd Galberth is fine. Thank you. Number one, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your amazing, incredible, life-changing podcast.
Stop
super
it.
Super honored. There have been many people to sit on this soft couch.
In that spot, yeah.
So I'm just grateful to be on, so thank you so much.
No, I'm grateful. I appreciate you. And I know you're very busy right now. You're on tour.
Just a tiny bit.
Like, you literally have to leave here and go hit the road. But thank you for taking time in between your busy schedule. We met at Change Church through my brother Isaac Curry.
Yep.
He introduced us. And you lead our praise and worship team.
Yeah.
And when I think of you, the name of this episode is Encountering God. And my favorite album right now is your Encounter
Come
album.
On.
Yes! It is so good.
I'm blushing. You can't see it through the black skin, but I'm turning. I'm really red right now.
It's so good.
Thank you.
It had me in a chokehold for months. Now the new Maverick City album that you're on has me in a chokehold.
Oh, man.
But I guess everything you touch just, turns to go.
Just, it's Jesus. I'm so grateful for that the Encounter project. So super grateful. The episode is called Encounter, but
yes,
that was legitimately. You ever do so? I'm sure you've written something or had an episode or that was like you knew like yo this one
is it.
Like
yes.
Nobody had to tell you. Nobody had to confirm. You were like, I know that. That's it. And that's how I felt. When we left that recording that night, I literally walked behind the stage and was just crying. I was like, yo, that's the best thing I've ever done.
No, it was
in my life.
Insane.
So
and
it
like
was,
when you listen to it, you feel like you're at the live recording.
Yeah, that was the goal from the mix to how we produced it. I wanted people to feel like they were in the room.
Yeah.
I wanted them to feel like they were a part of the encounter. So I'm so grateful. Like legitimately, I was talking to somebody yesterday, the record, a year old as of 2 weeks ago, and it's still on the charts.
That's amazing.
And so, like, yo, that's God. That's
nothing God. But God.
For real.
Nothing but God. So I normally start the show off with a quote or a song. And since I have a singer here.
What are you going to sing together? We're going to sing together? That's crazy.
One of my
That's wild.
We're going to see what
did not see that in the notes. To sit back, revise
script. Not doing that. Well, I can tell you what one of my favorite songs is.
Okay.
I actually work out to this song. I work out to the whole album.
Okay.
I'm one of those girls I actually like
you
to.
You say you work out.
We've never
seen you work out. We see pictures of weights. We see pictures of treadmills. No one has ever seen you like going, but that's another conversation.
It always gives me a hard time.
I'm just saying.
Are you really working out?
Have you moved today? Ma'am, we're
waiting. We're waiting on you to move.
But go ahead.
Okay. One of my favorite songs is He Won't Fail, written by you, my good brother, Chandler Moore, and somebody else. I can't remember who else was on there, but I did double check to make sure that there was a song.
My guy from Detroit, his name escapes me right now. He actually, James, last name James. He wrote this. I went to a concert. He had just legitimately, like that week, he was like, man, I wrote this little hook, guys. Can I just sing it for you guys?
Wow.
And he was like, he won't fail. He won't fail. He won't leave you. No, he won't fail. I was like, yo, the whole room. I was like, bro, he just, those lines. I was like, he said, man, I don't have anything else with the song, but I just wrote it. I said, well, I'm taking that from you. Come on, you got it.
All of your cares.
Yes.
Even your struggles, you can give it to Jesus.
That's
We're gonna leave right there.
That's it.
You gotta get the album and listen to it to hear the rest of it.
That's my every night when I do a concert, I look forward. Like it has never gotten old.
Yeah.
Like there are some certain songs you're like, okay, I'm singing this again. But
right.
That song is like what I know is gonna take place when we start declaring that over the room and in the room. It's like, yo, like God just, number one, you see people's faith begin to rise. Like
no, when they literally.
Hear it, literally like, oh no, God won't fail me. I know what I'm in. Doesn't look good. It doesn't feel good. But I have this truth that if he said it, he is God enough to bring it to pass. And it's like, yo, no, he won't fail me. I know it. Everything about my situation is saying that I'm failing. But when you begin to declare these words, it's like, you know what? I've seen God do it before. And if he did it before, then he's got enough to do it again. So yes. I know he won't fail. So.
Period. That's so good. I recently started like really diving into the Bible and making an intentional effort to read it all the way through because I ain't done it, but I'm doing it now.
That's dope. No, that's really dope.
You know, because I always tell people once you get to like Numbers and Judges, I'm like, how many more names do I have to read? And I just get to the devotionals and just
you're going through a lot of names that most people can't pronounce.
Right, exactly. So that was always my stopping point when I would start to try to read the Bible. But one thing I'm noticing now as I'm reading it, everything God promised the people in the Bible, no matter what they did, no matter how they deviated from his instructions, he still did what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, he's consistent.
It's crazy.
And I think one of our biggest problems is that we box God, not intentionally, but we put him in this box because of how we've been treated by people, of how we've been let down by people who we thought loved us, or who we thought would never leave us, or who we thought would always be in our lives. And for whatever reason, they're not there anymore. And so we put this thing on God. It's like, okay, we know you, God, but... And then we look at ourselves and how jacked up and messed up we can be. So it's like, it almost makes sense for you not to come through for me.
Right.
It almost makes sense for you not to open the door. It almost makes sense for you to let my life just fall apart because of who I am. And then when I add how other people have treated me in the process. So it's like we box God into this thing where we put human characteristics on him. And he's like, no, let's establish this. I am not like man.
Hello.
I don't change. I am the same today, yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so it's like, yo, once you understand that, yo, if he said it, that no matter how much you can mess it up in the middle, you know what I'm saying? He has this amazing way of making all things work together for the good of them that love God. So it's like, yo, it's like no matter where you are, like you got to let your past go, let the dumb stuff you've done go, and understand God is not like man. He doesn't operate like man. He doesn't move like man.
Period.
He is God.
And
so just let him be him. Your job is not to mess it up. It's like, yo, don't get tired of doing good. Be not weary in well doing. For in due season, you're going to reap. Don't get tired of doing good. Keep doing the right thing. Not perfect thing, but right thing.
Right things, yeah, because people... keep trying, and you be like, all right, now how many times am I supposed to keep doing good? And y'all keep trying me.
Right, no, that happens. But it's it's like, yo, you can't like let other people dictate, especially when you have vision, you have goals, and you know where you're going. You cannot allow other people to dictate, like to mess up what God is doing in your life. Yeah. So it's like, yo, you keep trying me. I may blow it and give you the response that you deserve.
Right.
But I'm glad that he makes all things work together for the good of them who love him.
Amen to that. I love it. For the people who do not know, Todd, you are a songwriter, gospel artist, praise and worship leader, and actor.
You know, I used to do. You know,
actor.
I don't like to bring that up around you, but it's, you know. I did a few little chitlin circuit plays back in the day. That's actually how I got started.
Awesome.
Like I was leading worship at a little Pentecostal church with like 40 members. And I got a call, a friend of mine was like playing drums in a play. I can't remember the guy's name. He was like, yo, a background singer got sick. Would you want to come? I was like, well, how much y'all paying? He told me how much they were paying. I was like, yo, sign me up. I'm on the way.
Right.
And I started singing background. I think this play was called, was it, If Loving You Is Wrong? I don't know.
That's a Tyler Perry show.
I think the play was called If Loving You Is
Wrong.
Wow. And I was singing background, and the main character, the main guy, got sick.
Wow.
And couldn't do a show. And they was like, yo, you seen this show. You've been out here singing this show. They was like, yo, we want you on stage. I was like, huh? They want you on stage. I was like, okay. All got right. on stage.
And did it.
And did it and stayed on stage. But I did it for like three years.
Wow. So you got bit by the acting bug. Did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
That's good.
I just didn't like some of the stuff that came with it. I want to be very careful what I just said. I didn't like some of the stuff that I couldn't control that came with it. Mm-hmm. But being on stage, watching people laugh, watching people cry, being able to sing and it was one of those gifts I didn't know I had until I did it.
Right.
I was like, oh, I'm not too shabby. Yeah. Hopefully you don't have any B-roll rolling of My chitlin circuit.
We're going to find it. Insert here.
But I know, right? But no, I loved it, though. Just being, you know, having the opportunity to express more of who I am authentically.
Yeah.
And that vein was really cool.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that. And that's the way that God made room for you.
Yeah,
you
know? No, for sure. Yeah. I actually posted this today. Mm-hmm. I was like, my life is just so, it's so weird and amazing because every door that I've walked through was not a door that I was going after. Mm. Legitimately, I was talking to worship leaders. I was like, yo, I said, every door that God has opened for me has come through serving somebody else. Like every major opportunity.
Yeah.
And so it was like the door didn't present itself until I was doing the thing that I was doing naturally, not chasing after something.
Mm-hmm.
And from me, from the posture of my heart and just from me serving at my local church or serving somebody else's vision, God always opened a door. I told him, I said, I'm the living scripture of your gift will make room for you.
Yeah.
Because every opportunity that I've gotten, it didn't exist before I showed up.
Woo.
Legit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even like we're talking about the plays.
Yeah.
There was an opportunity for me to be on stage until it happened.
Yes.
Like even the jobs and opportunities to meet and write, those opportunities did not exist until I showed up. And when I showed up, God opened a door. God created room.
He was in the room.
Yeah, he created an opportunity that did not exist before I got there.
Wow.
And like that's my whole life. So I'm like, yo, people ask me all the time, what's the secret sauce?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, serving.
Yeah.
I know it feels a little anticlimactic. It's not, but it's like, yo, I'm like been faithful and I properly cared for somebody else's stuff the way I would if it was my own.
Say that again.
I properly cared for somebody else's stuff, for somebody else's vision as if it was my own.
Yeah.
And I believe from that posture, God has been like over the top faithful to create opportunities for me to do. I tell people all the time, I won. I'm a little country boy from Rayford, North Carolina. I'm from the sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from the sticks. Yeah. And looking at what God has done in my life, I'm like, I won.
Yeah.
And that's why for me, it's like, I'm so grateful and appreciative for every opportunity because I know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I know the rated R version.
Hey.
I know how faithful God has been.
Yeah.
And so every open door, every platform, every opportunity, I'm like, yo, I'm coming in low and I'm coming in grateful because I know. It's the Lord's opportunity. It's the Lord's platform, and he's just opened his door for me.
That is so awesome. When I think of your album entitled Encounter, when was like the first time Todd encountered God?
Man, probably at a revival.
I remember them revivals.
A little storefront revival in Rayford, North Carolina, Mount Sinai Church. I'll never forget Bishop Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop Benny L. Kelly was preaching at this revival at my church.
Mm.
And I'll never forget that night as long as I live. Because it was like, I was coming to church. I'm a church kid. I grew up in church.
Same.
It's like just going to church. And I'll never forget, it was a revival. I think it was a Thursday night. And when I tell you, all I know is I remember waking up in a corner in a fetal position, broken and crying and screaming. But that night changed my life.
Yeah.
At 16 years old.
Wow.
16 years old, that night just like drastically changed my life and my viewpoint of like, he stopped being the God of my mother, the God of my father.
Ooh.
And he became my God that night.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And that's why I'm so passionate about leading people in encounters with Jesus.
Yes.
Because religion will not change you.
Mm-hmm.
Religion can help you be more organized.
Mm-hmm.
Religion can give you some moral principles, but religion cannot change you.
Right.
Jesus can change you.
Mm.
An encounter with God has the ability to change the trajectory of your life. So that's why I'm like, yo, that's why I go hard. That's why I don't play. I take it so serious.
You do.
Because I know that this may be somebody's only chance for that encounter.
Wow.
This may be the Sunday that somebody invited their brother
mm-hmm.
who they've been praying for years to come to church.
Yeah.
This may be the Sunday that the mother that's been praying for her son to show up and paid for him to come to a concert that I'm at. And he finally made a decision to come. And so how do I approach that moment? I'm like, no, I have to go hard because this may be their only shot.
Wow.
And I'm like, yo, I tell people I'm a middleman. Mm-hmm. I'm pulling people up and I'm pulling God down to create this encounter in the middle. That's it. It's like the quicker I get myself out of the way, get past what I got on, get past how good you think I can see.
Because you be fly.
No.
He's putting it on.
Get past all of that. And yo, how quickly can I get you into the presence of God so that he can be exactly what you need him to be in that moment?
I'm telling you, Todd, you definitely have a mantle over your life. You are anointed. Literally, there was one Sunday, someone else had started praise and worship. And then all we heard is your voice on the microphone. And it was just the whole energy just shifted. You know what I'm saying? You have that effect where, and I know it's nothing but God, it's not
right,
you
no,
at
for
all,
sure.
But God uses you, and it's definitely something that immediately shifts the atmosphere when you tap in with that.
I don't say this arrogantly at all, but I'm so grateful that, and people say you hear people all the time, especially people who are not church, I don't know what it is about your voice. Because number one, I'm telling you right now, people think I say this for people to be like, no, yes, you are. I do not think I'm a really good singer.
I'm the same way.
I'm like, yo,
no,
I'm
not that great.
I don't think I'm a great.
I say that too.
No, you sing way better than me. But I do not think I'm a great singer at all. I know the thing that I have confidence in is that I know God's hand is on my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he has anointed me to do what I do.
Yeah.
And the anointing is it's back on him. Mm-hmm. It's like he's given me this ability to do something that I couldn't normally do on my own strength.
And it's so true. You say, you've been quoted as saying, God is looking for a worshiper, not a song. A worship does not need a song. A song always needs a worshiper.
A worshiper does not need a song, but the song needs the worshiper.
It's
like, yo, God is not looking for singers. Mm-hmm. He's like, not those who will sing, that's who I'm after.
Yes.
No, he's looking for worship. They that will worship me in spirit and in truth. Not sing in spirit and truth, not dance in spirit and truth, but worship me. So it's not, he's not after a song.
Mm-hmm.
He's after a worshiper. And a worshiper doesn't need a song. You may not know a song, but you can open your mouth and open up your heart in a way that you can sing lyrics to God that will never go on a piece of paper or never maybe be on a song on Apple Music that will make him inhabit wherever you are and show up in a way that will be so transformative to your life. So you don't have to be a singer.
Right.
You don't have to be great singers. I don't feel like I'm a great singer, but I know that God has anointed me to do what I do, and that's where I have my confidence.
Yeah, I joked with you last week when I lost my voice. I said, I sound like you, but I can't sing like you. I lost my voice and I sound just like Todd.
In this raspiness. So you're going to have to, sound man, video guy, you're going to have to put a little reverb on me, turn the highs up, because I sound like a Pentecostal preacher. So.
Oh my gosh. When we talk about you being the leader of praise and worship team at Change Church.
Change Church.
Shout out Pastor Darius Daniels
yes.
and Pastor Shamika Daniels.
Love
we love
team.
Y'all. Yeah,
yes,
I do
facts.
Too, man. I'm so glad I finally found a consistent church home here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It has completely changed my life.
That's dope.
I love you guys and I love my church home. But what comes along, 'cause people don't understand what all comes along with being over that ministry.
A lot, and not just over that ministry.
Because you also
some other stuff.
Are you right? Are you also a pastor?
I'm an executive pastor.
Executive pastor. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a few things that kind of fall under my leadership. I mean, it takes a lot, but music in particular, people think that they just pop some songs out and go.
Right.
It's never that simple. There's a process, and it's like, yo, how do we get people to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? How do we lead people? And with worship, it's vertical. Me and the team, we get into it all the time. I'm like, that song is a vertical.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, yo, when we start worship, I want the songs to be not about what God can do for us, but about what we can do for God. That we're coming in to tell God how good he is, how faithful he is, how great he is. So the intentionality that goes with that has to be thought through. And then understanding who we're singing to, the demographic of people that we're singing to.
Mm-hmm.
Because our worship may look different than a church in Indiana or maybe a church on the other side, maybe another church in Duluth.
Right.
It may feel and look different because of the demographic of people that we're serving. So we have to think through that stylistically. How does that feel? What does it sound like? Is it vertical?
Mm-hmm.
lyrically? Is it biblically sound? Mm-hmm. Is it aligned with vision? All of those things go into place.
Do you ever talk to PD and be like, hey, what's the sermon about, and like tie it into that?
It depends. If it's something that he wants to like nail in that month, then we may like intertwine like some songs or we may do a special. It may be something right before he speaks or it might be an opener. So I'm grateful that he trusts me.
Yeah.
And, you know, because he could have, you know, I've, not gonna say that, but yeah, I'm grateful that he trusts me. And he doesn't micromanage the situation. Yeah. He trusts me.
That's dope.
And he allows us to be. He's like, yo, I brought you here because I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
I brought you here because you do this, and I don't do this.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, I'm gonna let you do what I brought you here to do.
Yeah.
And if there's something I need to speak to, he'll speak to it. And that's what I love about him.
Mm-hmm.
So consistent. He. Yeah. What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
He does not waste his words. And so when he says something, he makes it count.
Yeah.
And so like with him, it's not that I'm so great that he can't say anything. I trust him with my life. The only reason why I'm in this city is because of him.
I was going to ask you, so how did they even, the relationship build, or how did they even come apart of you being a part of change?
Isaac Curry is a bridge.
Ike.
I just resigned from my last assignment, and I was like, yo, I think I'm going to move to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, I think I'm just going to travel for a while. I've been working full-time ministry for like 16 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to chill for a little bit, just travel. I was really thinking about going to Dallas. I really love Dallas.
Yeah.
And I swore on a stack of Bibles I would never live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Really?
Ever.
What? Something about Atlanta.
Despise this city.
Really?
And the Lord said, you got to come. You got to bring it out. You got to bring it up. That ignorant. But no, I just did not want to. I never really enjoyed Atlanta. Atlanta for me was always in and out.
Mm-hmm.
But I came. I resigned. I was like, yo, you know, Pastor Darius, he's opening up a campus in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I just think y'all should talk, bro. Just talk. I was like, bro, I'm actually cool. I'm chilling.
Yeah, I'm
good. I just need that space.
Right.
And we talked. I drove up here. We met in close by here, in by Perimeter. Del Frisco's.
Okay, yeah.
Went to Del Frisco's. Del Frisco's. Give her some some
not,
money.
Yeah, not
some,
the grill. The other one.
Yeah, the big one.
The steakhouse.
They closed the grill.
Did it catch on fire or something?
I don't know.
Anyway. Something
happened. But
there goes the girl. Anyway. Del Frisco's, call you, girl.
I know. Call Del Frisco's. We'll take some sponsorship money over here.
Absolutely. Lunch provided by Del Frisco's.
But we had dinner, and I sat at that table with that man, and I said, that's my pastor.
Wow.
Literally. Like, even if I didn't work with him,
mm-hmm.
I said, that's my pastor.
That's my pastor.
And I've heard him preach several times.
Yeah.
But when I started to hear vision, when I started to hear his heart, when I started to hear his vulnerability, I was like, yo, I can connect with that.
Seriously.
I can connect with that.
Yeah.
And because it's different. He is different. Our church is different.
Yeah.
And it's because he's different, because of what God has called him to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
So
it's been, that's the reason why I'm here. That's why I am in this amazing, beautiful, incredible.
You see how that changed?
City. Yeah.
It hurts to say it.
But no, it has grown. Just the airport alone has just been life-giving. No more connect. Outside of the mean people who work there, they're just not being able to get on connections after connections. Living where I live is connection. So being able to get almost anywhere in the world makes this city a lot better.
See, you like it better.
A little bit.
You like leaving. It's what you're saying.
That's crazy.
Like that's what I heard.
No, I love my side of town. I love my people. We're good.
Yeah, it's good. I remember when you guys did the pop-up, not show, but y'all did a pop-up service here.
Yep, at the Epicenter.
Yes, yep. And Chandler called me. He's like, hey, sis, I'm in town. Come out. And I was like, okay. I literally was just coming to support Chandler. Did not know what I was walking into. And I got there and I was like, what is this? That was my first time seeing you perform live.
Okay.
It was just an amazing experience. And that was my first time experiencing Pastor Darius Daniels. And I was like, it's something different about this man.
Yeah.
That made me, when Ike Cobbin said, hey, they actually opened up a church here, come. Right. I was like, okay, I don't have a church home. I'll come. And I haven't left.
That's dope.
You're stuck with me.
That's so good.
But yeah, I remember that. And it was definitely a pivotal moment in my walk because like a lot of people, I've dealt with church hurt. I've gone to churches and really, poured my life into them and made sure that people knew this is where I'm going. Come, right, let's serve, let's worship and get closer to God. And what ends up happening is that the human side comes out, and then you allow, instead of seeing that what God was using that person for, you only see the human and their flaws. And it turns you off in the church. And that was my experience. So you guys caught me at the right time when I was thirsty for the word and needed that home base again.
That's good. And that's, the Lord knows exactly what we need, especially for the season that we're in.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So timing was everything for that.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You had to be at the right head, be in the right headspace.
Yes.
And to get the right phone call, the right day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To have your heart open enough to even be like, because some people can become so jaded that anything, the moment that they see anything that comes close to what their past experience was, then it's like, see everybody like this. Or see everyone, every preacher's like this, every church is like this.
Yeah.
And they put everybody in this box because of something that happened to them. And so I'm so grateful that you were open enough to like, oh, this is, and the fact that it was exactly what you thought it was.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like that's once I actually got to experience, like, oh, this is what I thought.
Yeah, it wasn't a bait and switch. It was like, oh no, like this is exactly what it is. But for you to come and have your heart open enough to even receive that and feel the difference. And it's, again, it's not trying to harp on how great Pastor Darius is because he's a human being. You know what I mean? But it's that all flows from him down because of legitimately who he is as a person. I tell people he's a better man than he is a preacher.
Yeah.
And he's a phenomenal preacher. He's a phenomenal pastor.
Yes, he
but
is.
He's a better human being than he is. So that's why I love him so much. That's why I'm in this beautiful city.
There we go. Forever I love Atlanta. we're gonna bring you on over here. Listen.
It's all good.
You're gonna next year you're gonna be like, I don't know why I didn't move here sooner.
I wanna say that. Been finding some really good restaurants here lately though.
Yes.
The restaurant game is coming up.
Listen, this is a spot. We got some good stuff. Now, I'm sure you get this all the time, but have you ever thought about being a pastor? Because you got something on you now.
Cut that out the video. We're done. This episode, I think. When I tell you I've heard that more, first of all, I've heard it my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tell you I've heard that more in the past 12 months, this year in particular, it's weird.
I'm just saying, it's like, not weird.
And so I grew up around everybody wanted to be a pastor.
Yeah.
So I'm being like anti, I don't want a pastor, anti, I just want to come serve the Lord in this capacity, take my butt home and go get something to eat. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
But I don't know, my heart has really been closed off to the idea, just simply because I've worked very closely with pastors and people will never know what it takes to do that job well.
Yes.
I'm gonna say that again, not to do the job, but to do the job well.
Mm-hmm.
What it takes is a lot. The sacrifice, the way you put yourself out there, the vulnerability, how open you are to criticism, ridicule, lies, and to put all of that out there and bring your family through that, it's a different beast. So people don't understand. So for me, I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I've worked in the kitchen. I know what it is in the kitchen.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm good. But at the same time, I don't want the Lord to have to break my legs off if that is, you know, the next evolution for me in my life.
Yeah.
I told God at 16, yes.
Yeah.
So my answer will always be yes.
Yes, I love it.
But I'm not pressed at all.
At all.
Like, yo, I'm good. I will serve somebody else.
Yeah.
I will be a cheerleader. I will lead worship. I will do some admin, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not something that I'm going after. Now, if it happens.
Yeah.
Then yes,
guys,
Lord.
This is all right.
But I'm not.
I feel you. No, but everybody, like, they see it. They see it on your life.
Yeah, everybody. But this year in particular, it's so weird. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm out here trying to. And my thing is, I'm not even like, we're on tour right now.
Mm-hmm.
I said I would never go on tour. I never wanted to go on tour.
Wow.
Never wanted to. I love serving in the local church. Like, I love watching people go from A to B, B to C, C to D. I love seeing the same people and being able to shake their hands and hug their neck and love on them and speak life to them. Yeah. I love serving in the local church. I mean, the local church. A lot of people who do what I do, they want to get out the local church to get on the road and go travel. Yeah. Like traveling, and that's whipped cream for me. Serving at my church, that's the main thing.
Right.
Like that's whipped cream and cherries. It's great. It's it's cool. But if I had to choose between the two, I'd be right here at my church.
I think I know with the moment that I thought that as well, because a lot of, I've heard people say that, but I think the moment I thought about it was on the Encounter album when you talked about doing the pottery.
Yeah, the pottery.
What you do, the way you told the story, I was like, oh! He's like, I'm supposed to throw it away. You're like, no, you don't throw it away.
Oh,
and how
God.
You compared to how God puts us back together again. That's the moment I was like, he got a little preacher in him.
I mean, I enjoy speaking. I enjoy all of that. It's totally different. People tell me all the time, like, oh, well, if you can sing, you can preach.
Not necessarily.
That's two totally different vibes, the preparation. You got one is corporate. The other one, y'all sitting down looking like, say, you better say something. You better say something good or I'm going to get on Instagram right in front of your face. So it's just two different types of preparation. But now this is what I will say. The fulfillment is different when I speak than when I sing.
Wow.
At this point in my life. It's a different type of fulfillment. And so again, I'm not fighting the evolution. But it's gonna be God. If you see a pastor Todd, you're like, that's God. Go to that church. Cause that dude, God told him to do
that.
I'll never forget being at that potter. That thing was so life-changing.
Oh my goodness.
Literally just being in it and like putting your hands on the clay and just having this guy who's not a Christian.
Wow.
So I'm taking everything that he's saying.
Dang, he don't even
looking
realize.
At the Bible, looking at the heart of Jesus. And he's like, yo, because I kept messing it up. I was like trying. He was like, you got to hold it steady. And it kept falling apart. And I was like, yo, so what do you do with this clay? You know, I'm like, you just going to throw it in the trash can? He was like, no, never throwing this clay in the trash can. He said, I can use this clay. He said, I can use this clay and recycle this clay and use it over and over again. It will never be to the point where it can't be used.
He was like, but
for the untrained eye, for somebody who doesn't know what to do with it, then it's easy to throw it away.
Yes.
But for the potter who understands what it is, he has the ability to say, no, I can still use that.
Yes.
I can still restore that. I can still put this back together. And not just, but here's the thing, and this is what I love about God. Not just can he restore it and put it back on the wheel and make it something, but he has the ability to make it something beautiful. Sometimes people can restore something and it's like, well, it's not going to look as good as what it was originally set out to be. But God has the ability to take, no matter how jacked up, messed up, toe up from the flow up, your life, your situation, whatever you are in, he has the ability to not just restore you, but actually make you better than what you thought you would be from the beginning. To actually take what you thought, how great your life was going to be, that he has the ability to give you the eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered into the heart. He has the ability to go above what you can even ask or think. He is not just a repairer. He is not just a restorer. He is the God that makes it better than what you thought it could be from the beginning.
Oh!
And that's what's dope. That's what's dope. Like, he's not just gonna put you back together for you to be put back together.
Yes.
No, he gonna put some shine on that joint. You gonna be flossy. You gonna be everything and more than what you thought you would be.
Amen.
And that's dope. That's what I love about Jesus. He doesn't just put you back together again. Like, if this table was broke down and it looked like that to begin with, he's not gonna put duct tape on the side just to say, oh, it's workable now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it don't look like what it originally was supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, I'm gonna restore you in a way that people won't even know that you were broken before. That's what's dope about Jesus.
My God.
Now, I'm gonna fix you. I'm gonna do it so dope. I'm gonna put the three Hebrew boys in the fire, and you, as a matter of fact, when you come out, you're not even gonna smell like smoke. You're not even gonna look like you've been in fire. He is a restorer, like in the most beautiful way possible. So, Jesus, I love him. He's so dope. He dope, dope.
Y'all, today's word was brought to you by the Pastor Todd.
The Pastor Todd is crazy.
Listen, you just gave us a word.
No, but he's got. That's the dope thing about God. Is that he doesn't just put you back together.
Yeah.
He doesn't duct tape your life. He doesn't put staples on you. Yeah. When he restores you in a way that when people see you, they don't even know what Jesus. You've been through. Mm-hmm. You don't even look like, you don't smell like what you've been through. That is what Jesus does. That's how good he is.
He is.
So good.
So that's so good.
Nah, it is. That's good. It ain't got nothing to do with me. He's just good. He dope. Jesus is dope. I need to get on a t-shirt. Jesus is dope.
Yeah.
On my cardigan sleeve.
Yeah, you did it. That needs to go on the road with you. We can make it happen. Shifting gears real quick.
Okay.
You just celebrated the 20th anniversary of you and your wife, Vanessa. Dope. Shout out, Vanessa.
Hey, V. I know she's watching.
And you have two beautiful children. I was giving them a hard time yesterday in church when Pastor was going through all these R&B songs.
Yeah,
and they were literally
that.
Sitting in church like this. I look back, I said, y'all know what he talking about.
It wasn't Drake, wasn't Yachty.
They were like, what is he talking about?
That's crazy. Even though my daughter is a hippie, she's a real hippie. She listens to music. I'm like, who are you listening to? I'm like, what is, I don't even know the names of these people.
But. Right, no, but you have a beautiful family. What was it, I'm always interested. I asked PD this, I always ask married couples, what was it that made you know that your wife was the one that you wanted to spend the rest of your life with?
Her worship.
Mm.
It was the first time I like newly getting saved, walking out my faith. Mm-hmm. And the first time I saw her worship, I was like, yo, I think that's my wife.
Wow.
It was legitimately because of her heart for Jesus. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what God was gonna do with me at that mm-hmm. point.
Yeah.
All I knew is I wanted God to get the glory out of my
life.
But I knew it was gonna take somebody being with me mm-hmm. with that type of heart.
Yeah.
And with that type of passion for Jesus.
That's amazing.
And so I literally, I'll never forget, it was at my church.
Mm-hmm.
And she came. And
back
I saw
in your hometown?
Yeah.
Oh, so she's from, are y'all from
yeah,
the same
we're from place? The same area.
Wow.
She's from the big city.
Okay.
She's from Fayetteville.
I got you.
I'm from Rayford. I'm from the Caution Light. I'm from the little city. And she came to my church, man. I saw her. I was like, yo, this girl loves Jesus.
Mm-hmm. You can't hide it. You can't fake that. And she got pretty feet. All right, B. Pretty big B.
So I was like, yo, she really loves Jesus. Yes. And I'm like, I know, again, I didn't know exactly what God was doing, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I'm like, yo, I'm gonna need somebody like that on my
yes.
team for
yes.
where I'm going. And then just to get to know her, and we just, it just flowed. It wasn't work.
I love that.
It just flowed.
Yes, that so is awesome. That's awesome.
But we met at a bowling alley. Okay. My best friend, Roderick, was dating her friend. She was at her friend's house,
mm-hmm.
and she said, if you want to see me, you got to bring somebody
yeah.
to go out. He begged me, and I wasn't going. I said, I'm never going to a bowling alley with you and some weird girl. And I didn't know her.
Okay, but he's like, I just met this girl. I think she's my wife.
Yeah, right.
She comes to bowling alley with us.
But, yo, so we went, and that night I was like, okay.
She cool. All
right. And then we went to church. He came to church, and we church kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, we went to church. I was like, oh. You love Jesus for real, for mm-hmm. real. Like, and from
wow.
there, here we are.
I love it. I here love y'all travel are. Together.
20 years.
Yes, that's amazing. I love
years.
It.
Yeah, great.
How do you balance? Because you're now on the road a lot. How do y'all balance everything? Because you got the kids.
Man, it can be a lot. I've learned that balance is not a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's you know, it's like, yo, you have to give attention, the proper attention to what, it's like, if I'm home, be home.
Mm-hmm,
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I'm home, be home. Put the phone. That can be a struggle sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's like, but if I'm home, put the phone down.
That's good.
Lock in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I travel so much, so
mm-hmm.
they don't deserve fragments.
Yeah. Oh.
You know what I mean? They mm-hmm. don't deserve fragments.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, that's all I really got.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's the foundation. Like, that's what's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I can walk out here tomorrow and disappoint people, and everybody who cheered for me and clapped for me will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's
and
real.
So the people who are gonna be there,
mm-hmm.
and it sucks, but that's who normally gets the fragments is the people who really
yes.
care. And the people who really love us
mm-hmm.
are the people we give the least to.
Yeah.
And that's just an encouragement to anybody who's watching. Like, let's reverse that.
Yes.
That's not a statement to be like, oh man, that's true. That's a statement to be like, yo, let me do better.
We gotta
today.
Fix that. Yes.
Like for real.
That's good.
And so like for me, it's like, yo, I'm home, be home. Like lean in, hang out with my kids, lean in, walk in the room, what y'all doing? Let's go somewhere. Let's go ID. So like when I'm home, be home and be very intentional. Yeah. I know I'm gonna have to go. It's just a part of the assignment at this stage of my life. So it's like, yo, make it count.
Make
them feel the impact when I am there.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Speaking of your wife, I know that on one of your albums, you spoke about a diagnosis and healing that you both experienced.
Yeah.
Could you share that with us?
This is so crazy. We both got diagnosed with papillary thyroid cancer.
Wait, what?
Both. I got diagnosed first. It's crazy. And this is why you have to have the right person in your life. For maybe 6 months, she kept telling me, yo, you have a little lump on your neck. Like it was protruding just a little bit. Just a little, like I would have never saw it.
But she knew you did know.
But she saw, she was like, she kept telling me, you need to go to the doctor, you need to go to the doctor. I never went to the doctor. After 6 months, I finally went to the doctor. Went to the doctor, they took some biopsies. They was like, it looks a little suspicious, but I think you're fine. Let's just remove your thyroid. We're gonna take half of your thyroid out. You can keep the other half. I was like, okay, cool. So they took half of my thyroid out. We don't think it's cancer. As soon as they took half the thyroid out, they biopsy. Oh, yes, it's absolutely cancer.
Oh, wow.
Had to go back in 2 weeks later.
Oh, my goodness.
And I legitimately, it was so, it was like literally right over my vocal cords.
Jesus, that's what I'm going to say. That's so close.
Yeah, they were so close. They had to put sensors around my vocal cords so to let the doctor know if he was like getting too close. I'm like, yo, I need my voice.
This is your voice.
Right, you know what I mean?
My livelihood. Yeah.
So got diagnosed. Went through the process, literally as I'm healing, literally as I'm getting ready to be like, okay, I'm good. I was doing my live recording. I was doing Decrease. Right when we get ready for the live recording, I'm finally getting strong enough. My wife goes, she's like, yo, I've been feeling da-da-da-da. Go to the doctor. She gets diagnosed with the same thing. It was crazy. Like, it was Duke. We were in North Carolina. Duke, some people from Duke came to our house to like take samples of our carpet. They were like, yo, how did two people get that? They were like, that's kind of unheard of. And it was so weird. It was the timing of it all. Literally my first big live recording. And man, it was like going through that process together and watching God literally walk us through this thing of healing. And I went through it. She went through her surgery. It wasn't as extensive as mine, but she came out cancer-free, both cancer-free. Literally, I think like 7-8 years now, just free. And it was like the way God, we were just so like, God, why? It was the timing. And I'm like, when God does something, it's like, what are you trying to produce? And I was, again, it was with that album. I was like, God, what are you trying to produce through this thing? What are you trying to produce through us as a couple? And what is it that you're trying to do through us to get to the world? And it was like, yo, God is a healer. And it may, sometimes it may be by the laying on of hands. Sometimes it may be through medicine. Sometimes it's in your obedience. And like to see how God just kind of like literally pushed something out of me. And I really feel like a part of that was for that record. Like there were some things I needed to experience as we wrote for it, as we prepared for it, as we went up that night, and even to see what God did that night in the room. If you haven't listened to that record, it's like Encounter is Encounter. Encounter is... That's my baby. But Decrease is special. And that testimony is on that record. And the people that were at the altar. I mean, that room was filled with over 3,000 people.
Oh my goodness.
The altar, it was droves of people that was at the altar. And people got healed that night. And it was, I think it was just something that the Lord used in that moment to let people's faith rise. And to know like, yo, even when it's inconvenient, God is still good. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when the timing is off. And sometimes we can get so caught up, like, man, the timing was just so off on that. Like, God, why would you allow this to happen now?
That was
last
weekend.
Back to back.
Right.
Like, what? This don't even make sense. And he's like,
just
chill. I'm going to make it work.
He always does.
I'm going to make it work for your good. Just be chill.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I had no idea that both of you went through that.
Both got our little scars right here.
Our little
war wounds, but God, when I tell you, God was so good for me, I couldn't even sing. I thought I would never be able to sing again.
That's
like,
scary.
Like I could sing.
Yeah.
Thought I would never. I'll never forget. I was in North Carolina. Couldn't sing. I was struggling. And I literally, I said, Lord, okay, well, this is just what it is. This is my new normal. And the moment that I tried to accept the new normal, God was like, listen, I was up singing. Mm. And I'm literally having a conversation with God while I'm up singing. Mm-hmm. This is just my new normal. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, do you hear that? I'm like, hear what? Do you hear that? I said, hear what? He said, listen. And I was like, oh, I was singing and I stopped singing. I said, I could not believe
that you were
the Lord was like, yo, don't box me in. Like, I just wanted to show you that even if you couldn't do that, I can still use you.
Yes.
Even if you couldn't do it the way you thought you could, I can still get the glory out of it. Mm. But since you're trying to say I can't, watch this.
Watch what I do. Watch what I do.
He said, you hear that? Bam, I said, yo. So God has been so good. Like, so faithful.
That is so good. All right, the last question I'm going to ask you is, what is next for Todd Galbraith?
Man. You know what? Next, I can tell you. Start the church. No. I know that this year that I'm going to will be a year of investments for me. Investments on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
Financially, some things that are in my heart that are outside of music.
Okay.
That I want to be a student. Mm-hmm. I am going to start. I'm putting it out here. I'm putting it out here on your podcast.
QB Policy, the exclusive.
Now, do not. This isn't necessarily going to correlate. Uh-huh. You're going to make it correlate with what you just said.
Uh-huh.
But I am going, I'm starting Bible college next year.
Amazing.
But that's just because I just want to be a better steward of the word.
I'll join.
You going to join?
Yeah.
You going to go to college, Bible college?
Where is it at? All right, I thought you were going to teach it.
No, I'm not teaching. I'm going to school. She said teaching. No, I'm
like, where do I sign
no,
up?
No, I'm going. I think I'm going to Liberty University, though.
Oh, no, I ain't about to pay for no more school. PD, I'm going to take your class. Yeah. Bible U.
You going to Bible U?
I'm going to Bible U.
I'm over there. I'm done.
Yeah, but I ain't about to enroll in no college. But that's good.
I want to go. I just want to. I want to make sure. I tell worship leaders all the time. That's crazy. I tell worship leaders all the time, we have to have good theology. We're always in front of people.
That's
the
so
two
good.
Voices people hear week in and week out is the pastor and the worship leader.
Yeah.
The two most consistent voices people hear week in and week out. And so in order to do your job well, you have to have good theology.
Yes.
You can't just be up there saying what your mama said.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a series right now. God didn't say that.
He did
and
not
a lot
say
of people
that.
Stand up and say a bunch of stuff that God did not say.
And if
say.
You don't know for yourself, yeah, then you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's what he said.
You know, repeating something you thought was cool from somebody else.
And a lot of us repeating stuff we didn't heard for years that was wrong.
We all have. We all have. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, the Bible didn't say that at all. Mm-mm. So I just want to have good theology. So I am starting school. So I'm investing in my spirituality. Mm-hmm. I'm investing in just getting a greater understanding of the word. Financially, I'm investing in some things that I feel like is going to set my children up and my family up better.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a year, I'm literally saying this is a year of investment. So spiritually, emotionally, family, financially, and the music is gonna come.
It's gonna come, yeah.
I mean, like,
it naturally comes.
Yeah, like the music is gonna come. Have an opportunity to speak. That's gonna come, and those things are gonna come. But I want to be super intentional. Like, I want to invest. I want to pour into something that I may not see fruit immediately from.
Yes.
But I know that it's going. You know, I'm investing in things that I know is gonna set me. My family, my spirituality, just legitimately take it to another level. So it's a year for me, 2020, what is it, four?
2024? Four, yeah.
It's gonna be a year of investments. I'm investing in everything because I'm a person, I like to see it quick. I wanna get it
me
quick.
Too.
I'm like, I need to I get a house. I want to paintings on the wall.
Listen,
I'm having everybody there.
Right now.
It's 72
I need the pool
hours.
Dug in tomorrow.
Exactly.
Like, what are we doing?
So it's going to be, next year, it's like, yo, I'm intentionally making myself be patient.
And it takes maturity to do that.
Absolutely.
And growth. That's amazing. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you.
And God's going to bless all that. I'm not going to join Bible University.
Come on, man. Let's go. We got to get this word. We're going to be here doing these podcasts.
I told you I'm going to go to Bible U with Pastor Terrence. This man said, Liberty start. College. Wait, you talking
she said,
about?
Oh, you're about college.
Like real homework.
School, yeah.
Yeah. I'm cool. Todd, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been amazing. All right, so now we are going to do my favorite part where our listeners write in,
okay.
And it's called Positive Outcomes.
Sweet.
And we're going to give them advice.
I love that for us.
Yes. We are the ones to be giving you advice.
I put on my doctor hat now. Let's go.
All right. Hey, Crystal, my name is Kayla. I grew up going to church with my dad, but I was never taught how to pray or read the Bible. It was more like just them telling us what to do. I didn't really believe in God because of those reasons. When my sister passed back in 2003, everyone would tell me just to pray about it. But again, I didn't know how to. It wasn't until a few years later, my boyfriend at the time would just lay in the bed and I asked him, what was he thinking about? And he said he was praying. I then asked him, how does he pray and what does he say to God? After that, I started to pray. But it wasn't until 2016 when he and I were going through the roughest time that I believed in God. I asked God a few days before we broke up to end it if it wasn't meant for us to be together. Of course, I wasn't prepared for what he was going to do. However, that's when I knew for sure that God was real. Be careful what you ask for. Because, honey, I'd be like, Lord, send me a sign. I still struggle to fully commit myself to reading the Bible. I also grew up dyslexic, which makes it somewhat hard for me to understand the Bible. Do you know of any ways that can help me understand and read the Bible? Go to Liberty College.
Go to Liberty University. No. Yo, you have to bring it to where you are. Mm-hmm. So if it's like, yo, what translations are you looking at, right? So
yeah.
I'm an NIV guy. I love the NIV, and then I go back to the King James. Mm. I would say even start with Devos. Devos are great. The Bible app has scriptures that come up every day. They have thousands of Devos on there where you can come, where you can actually read along with a group of people that you can do every single day. I would say start with a translation. If the Amplified or the New King James Version is a version that you can kind of, you know, read and understand. And when you read the Bible, read it slow. I don't care if you're dyslexic or whatever. I don't care if you have a perfect IQ.
Yeah.
Read it and read it slow and read it again. And then when you read it again, read it again. Mm-hmm. And then you go, you have your Bible and you may get your little commentary where it explains it. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, there are so many tools out there. Mm-hmm. You can go to Google and ask Google. Google has that ability that'll send you to different resources that will explain the Bible to you. Like, there are so many ways if you want it. And I can tell in your heart to write in is something that your heart desires.
Yes.
But I was like, yo, find you a translation that you connect with. Find you a Devo. Go to the Bible app. It's legitimately the Bible app.
Mm-hmm.
Jump in a Devo. That they have every single day, find the scripture and then research it. Almost like you would do like a term paper. It's like, yo, I want to know what God is really saying through this, mm-hmm. and find the ways that through commentaries, through research, through just legitimately, man, hey, what does it mean when the Lord says thou shall not da 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 da, and find things that are solid. But I would legitimately start with the Bible app, find a translation that you're comfortable with, mm-hmm. and read that thing slow. Read it slow, yeah. and ask the Holy Spirit. Pray. You talked about prayer. Ask the Lord, hey, open up my heart and my spirit to really receive and understand what this is saying to me in this season of my life. What is the word actually saying? Not what my interpretation of it is, but what is it actually saying? And so find you a great commentary. Like, find you one that you can go to a Bible Christian bookstore and find one that's really good. The Tony Evans Bible is great.
Oh, love Pastor
great,
Tony
great,
Evans.
Great, great resource because it explains it as well. So check that out, find your commentary, read it slow, find a translation that connects with you. And then I tell people always go back to the King James Version and look at it as well. But that's just my non-Bible college.
We'll see what you say first semester
I might come back up like, look, I got a better way to answer that
there
question.
You go all right. Kayla, I'm gonna echo everything he said. I feel like you answered that perfectly. I don't want to come behind that was perfect. So I pray for you, we both are praying for you that yes. you get through everything that you're going through, but yeah, everything he said, and just take your time with it. Don't rush
read it slow. Mm-hmm. Read it slow.
Yeah. All right. So now we do what I'm going through and what I'm growing through.
Okay.
Right now in this season, I am growing through listening, learning to listen to God, learning to listen to my inner voice. A lot of times my voice is a lot louder than God's, you know? So that's what I'm growing through, what I'm going through. And I'm growing through, I think right now, growing through the what ifs. You know, I have a lot of what ifs in my life, and I'm like, okay, well, what if this doesn't happen? And learning, you know what, just be, let God take the lead in every area of my life.
Got you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I'm going through, what I'm going through, man, I think what I'm going through is a season of growing up. It's like what I was talking, like I'm 41, right? Mm-hmm. And there are just some areas, because they haven't fallen apart, that I've just kind of like been chilly in, or I'm just like, okay, it's not killing me, you know what I mean? But it's not growing me either. Mm. So lay aside every sin and wait. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can lay aside sin because that's obvious, right?
Yeah.
But then it's like wait, the thing that stops us from moving as fast as we could.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm like going through a season of like growing up and getting rid of weight.
That's good.
You know, getting rid of weight, things that have slowed me down. I'm terrible with procrastination.
Me too.
I'm like terrible.
Oh my goodness. When's your birthday?
December 18th.
That's my mom's birthday.
What?
Yeah, I'm
gonna get
18.
A real good gift this year, Mom. I'm excited for both of us. But yeah,
procrastination,
like
procrastination is
great. But it's like I want to grow up in some areas that because they haven't destroyed me, but I know that they're holding me back.
Yes.
And stopping me from getting to where I'm trying to go, as maybe quicker than I could.
Absolutely.
If I just dealt with these things and grew up in these areas.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So I feel like that's kind of what I'm going through and growing through.
Yeah, like all the same. Sometimes I feel like I'm going and growing through the same thing.
Yeah, because I want to have victory over those areas, and I want to. It's like, yo, it's not a testimony until you got victory over.
Yeah.
And so I want to be able to help people through those types of things. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, yo, I gotta grow up.
Yeah.
I gotta legitimately like, yo, okay, it's not killing you, bro, but you could be so much further if you just dealt with this differently, if you just grew up in these certain areas of your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right, and the last thing we do is keep it blank, sweetie. So what would you tell the audience if you had to fill in the blank for this week? What would you say?
If I had to fill in a blank?
Or keep it blank, sweetie.
Keep it blank, sweetie.
I can go first if you want.
Yeah, you go first. Okay. You go first. I'm going to take a sip of water and see what I can come up with.
Let's see. I would say keep it open-minded, sweetie.
Keep it open-minded. Yeah. Oh!
That's for you, too. Keep it open-minded.
You're saying keep it open-minded. Mm-hmm. I would say keep it honest, sweetie.
That's good.
We're living, I hate when people say we're living in the day. I mean, people need to be honest no matter what. But we get so little truth in our relationships.
Yeah.
And the majority of the stuff you hear from people are things that they think you want them to say versus truth.
Yeah.
And the relationships that I'm falling more in love with are the relationships where people tell me the truth.
Yeah.
And like the honest, like, hard conversation, honest truth. Mm-hmm. And those are the relationships that I'm fostering and leaning into because we get such little truth with people. And people will watch you fall apart. People will watch you do dumb stuff. People will watch you have a booger in your nose and not say nothing to you. But people will just watch you in all facets of life, knowing that they have the ability because of the proximity that they have to you to be able to speak to some things. But I don't know where the fear comes from. And a lot of times it's fear of falling out, fear of what saying the truth will bring in the relationship. But I'm like, yo, tell me the truth.
Yeah.
Tell me the truth.
Yeah.
I appreciate the truth. I can grow from the truth.
Absolutely.
But don't let me fall and you had the ability to say something or to speak to something You know what I mean? Like, because of fear. Don't, you know what I mean? Tell the truth.
Yeah.
In love.
Yes, exactly. You know, in love. Yeah.
Not maliciously. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. it can be different. Because people can snap on you and tell you the truth.
Hello.
And what happens is most people tell you the truth when they're aggravated.
Mm-hmm.
So then it doesn't even hit the same.
Yeah.
But if you tell me when we're sober.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, you can absorb it.
Yeah,
more,
it's like, okay. it's not, number one, I know it's coming from the right place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not coming from a malicious place. It's yeah. coming from a place of love.
Right.
So tell the truth, sweet.
I love it. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, Todd Galbraith, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I
thank
appreciate
you for letting
you.
Me sit on this couch. I've been working this couch, and it's as comfortable as it looks.
You know what
people,
I'm saying?
People, it's comfortable.
It's very comfortable.
I'm going to take a nap after this episode.
That's what most people say. They're like, this felt like therapy. Now I'm going to go to sleep.
Right.
But you got to go because I got somebody else coming. Wow.
And I was late, y'all. I was late, too. I was going to put that I was late for this episode. But
it was amazing.
So
we go. You've actually made up for the lateness because this was
thank
really
you.
Good.
Because your producer, she was.
She don't play.
Yeah, she don't.
She don't play the radio. You know they cut out recess in school because she didn't play.
I get that. I saw that on her face.
Oh yeah,
she don't I play. Saw that on her face.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Keep It Positive, Sweetie. If you want to write into our Positive Outcomes Open Listener Letter, please write into keepitpositivesweetie@gmail.com, and that's sweetie with an IE. You can follow Kips on all platforms at Keep It Positive Sweetie, and you can follow me on all platforms at Love Crystal Renee, and that's LUV. Todd, tell the people where they can find you so they can follow you and keep up with you.
ToddGalbraith.com. Instagram is my social media drug of choice. And that's T Galbraith, TGALBERTH. On IG or Facebook or TikTok sucks for me and my algorithms, but it's a great platform.
Yes, make sure you guys follow him and make sure you guys tune in. We have some more great things coming. You know what to do in the meantime. Keep it positive, sweetie.
Lord, we love you, we thank you, we yes, honor God. You. Thank you for this amazing opportunity we have to encourage, inspire, share our heart. I pray, Lord, that this podcast, this episode will do exactly what you want it to do. So let your kingdom come, let your will be done.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.